Hey, it's your boy TBC on the Jokes and Jocks podcast with my co-host
G. Hey Wiley, your favorite Blasian.
Oh yeah. And today we got a special guest coming live from Boston, Mass. The infamous, the notorious. Nah, he's cool as hell. My homie, the one and only. You may know him from Kiss 108, Mikey D.
What's up, baby? Good to link up, man. Been boys for years, so.
Yes, sir. Now, I got to remember now, we met, I want to say, at the Greatest Bar, right, in Boston?
Yeah, I think definitely Greatest Bar across from the Garden, right, in Boston. I think either I was interviewing you or chatting with you, or all I know is I definitely took shots with you. That's where the connection started.
Yeah, we were throwing some back for sure. Are you still doing the show over there with Butch at the Greatest Bar?
No, I did do it for like 6 or 5 years there, but I no longer do it anymore, but still have nothing but love for the Fairweathers and Dirty Wire TV and Greatest Bar. So I love them all.
Dope. Awesome. So yeah, how did you kind of get into the whole radio DJing interviewer? Life.
Well, the radio game, that's kind of a long journey it's been for me, but I grew up in Framingham out here in Mass. I went to Stonehill out here in Mass. When I realized that I was nowhere near as big as Tully and wasn't going to play in the NFL, like, damn, I got to figure out another fun job.
Did you play football in high school?
Yeah, I played ball in high school and college at Stonehill.
Oh, Stonehill, dope. Okay.
Yeah. I was like throwing parties in college, and I actually went to school to be a math teacher, which is crazy, but I was doing the party thing. My brother was 10 years older. He is in radio, so I kind of was doing it part-time. And then when I graduated college, I was going to go to grad school, be a teacher. But randomly, a station in Ithaca, New York hit me up and like, hey, we want you to come out here and do the night show. And literally the pay was like 19 grand a year. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out there. So I went out there. And like a couple months into that, a station in Indianapolis hit me up and they ended up flying me out and met me and moved me to Indy. So then I moved to Indianapolis, did a radio show in Indy for a year and a half and had a great time and did all that. And then my boss in Indy, he had gotten fired. He went to Detroit. When he got to Detroit, he called me, moved me to Detroit. So then I took a job in Detroit. A year into being in Detroit, I actually got fired. And then I got picked up in Tampa, and I was moving to Tampa when Kiss 108 called me 9 years ago, and that's when they moved me back here to Boston. So that's like the very short journey of how I got to Kiss 108.
Wow. And now were these like talk radio shows or?
They always were top 40 radio stations. The only station that was a little more hip-hop leaning was the station in Tampa, but everything was a top 40 radio station where I was, you know, a personality on the radio station. And like now at Kiss 108, I'm like the music director. So I pick every song 24/7.
Mikey, I got a quick question for you. Is it Mike or Mikey? Do you have a preference?
As long as it's not Dickhead.
Oh, well, I mean, I haven't gotten to know you yet. So we'll wait on that nickname. I just wondered, out of all of these, obviously going back home is the best, right? You're with like families right there and whatever, like Kelly and I are both from Cali, like to move back home is great, whatever. But what, out of all of those, take Boston out of it, out of all of those, because that's a lot of stations, man. Out of all of those, which one was your favorite?
100% Indianapolis. I met a great group of people there when I was there. I was like 23 years old, so I was like really out and about. You know, coming from Boston and going to the Midwest, you really realize just how different people are. But like, really, it was in a good way. I still remember like the first time I was in India, I was at CVS and I was like buying something and the lady checking me out was like, how's your day going? And in my head, I was like, I'm not stealing anything. Why is she asking me questions? But it was just because people like actually ask you, how's your day going? So I connected and had a good time in Indianapolis. So it's probably the best year and a half, you know, of my radio career outside of being back home in Boston.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's so weird that like Midwest people are on a different level, man. Nice. Like they're just nice to be nice. And like everybody else is like, what the fuck's your problem? Like, why are you talking to me?
100%. Even like I still remember too, like in downtown Indy, like when you like you park in Boston, like it's like 6 minutes is like $42.
Yeah.
You park in downtown Indy, I still remember the parking garage had a big silver box, and they just like trusted you to put $3 into this box. I was like, if this thing is in Boston, and I have a baseball bat to it every weekend, it'll be $46.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's crazy the trust. And I bet you like to this day, if you went back to Indy, it'd be the exact same way.
100%. I actually still go back there. I used to go back there every other month to DJ, but I still got a bunch of real estate out there. So I actually make it back there a decent amount.
Nice. Where do you normally DJ for all those that want to go and hear you when you go out there?
Indianapolis, there's a place right downtown. It's called Envy, E-N-V-Y. That's a place, but it's been different names like every other bar. But when I was living out there, it was called Sinsu. And then it changed its name to Revel, but it's like the biggest club right downtown. Really cool spot.
And what station was that?
I was actually on a station called Radio Now 100.9 out in Indianapolis, which crazy enough, just last week, that station flipped and it's gone now. But that's where I was, and it was a legendary station out there.
Huh.
And the cool thing, too, about up there is I used to host and DJ the Indy 500, which is actually the biggest sporting event in the world. It's like 380 or 400,000 people, and it is crazy. But every year, I would host and DJ that, which is probably the coolest event I've ever been a part of.
That, hands down, is. Like, when you walk into Indy, like, it's into the Indy 500, you can feel the, like, the shakes when you, like, were walking in to into the area. It's fucking sick. But that's probably... That's the most electric like sporting event I think I've ever been to.
So it's
insane. Like,
the never big thing, like there's like obviously four turns in every circle, right? So like the turn three is called like the snake pit, right? So that's where like the DJs and the party is. But it's so wild because you're inside a racetrack, but you can't even ever see a car. Like there's just like a sea of people.
the inside's the best. Yeah. The inside's the best. Oh, Tully, if you haven't gone, you gotta go, man. It's so sick.
What
time of
year is that?
You said what?
What time of year is the Indy 500? When is that?
That long weekend of May. May 28th, whatever, May 23rd.
Okay.
Memorial Day weekend, I think it always is.
Yeah.
But it's like a festival. It's a wildest thing I've ever been a part of in my life.
That was gonna be my next question, but you already answered it, so... That is hands down the best party I think I've ever gone to. I mean, outside of maybe like a few opening days, but I mean, that thing rages. It goes off so cool.
There's nothing like it. I was so much younger then too, 10 years ago when I was hosting it, but I still remember one year I got in super trouble because I was like, if you don't give a fuck about the race, if you came at a party, make some noise, everybody goes nuts. But obviously the people that hired me, I'm not very happy about that. And then I did like a bikini contest and I started a skin wind chant and the girl got naked and that didn't go very well either. But it's like
that's awesome.
You know, true story time, you'll laugh at this. So the next year they hired me again and they're like, whatever you do, don't say skin wins. Cause that's what I had was saying when the girl got naked. So I got on and again, I was wild and I was a little more like crazy, I guess I would say, but I was like, I got on. And I was like, yo, they just told me I can't say skin win. So I'm going to say skin. You say win. Skin. I'm going to send you videos and pictures from those days. But that was that was a wild time.
Wow. Skindianapolis, huh?
You know, hey, that's a new nickname right there. That one can stick.
Let's go.
I like it.
Wow. So being in Indy, was that like... you know, was that tough being from Boston just in the sports aspect? Because I know obviously there is a rivalry between Indy and Patriots. What was that like? Or, I mean, I don't know when you were 23, what year that was, but.
Yeah, so we're talking like 2012, 2011. Those years is when I lived in Indy. I mean, the cool thing though about Indy, which I did like, was like for a medium or a Midwest city that had the culture, right? That had a big sports team, and being from Boston, like sports of everything. So instead of taking it as like a rivalry, I was more just grateful that like the city I was in took pride in their sports. So like, did I ever become a Colts fan? No way. But like, it is always dope to be able to. And what I like about Indy, and I'm sure you see this playing, but like those cities where the stadiums are like actually downtown, like Lucas Oil's downtown, it's just a different vibe than going out to Foxborough, right? So it's like, it's pretty cool to be able to just like, you know, walk. I went to Indy like and went to a Colts game this past season, and like my hotel was like 4 steps from the thing. You just walk right over there. So that was pretty dope. And back then in those years, I was kicking it with like most of the Colts players. Like probably one of my best friends is Pat McAfee, who actually has like a dope, you know Pat McAfee at all, Tully?
Yeah, I know he is. So, I don't know him.
Yeah, so Pat has a dope, like, he's like a broadcaster now, but he was like the punter, but he would throw Pat McAfee days, and he would pay me in the radio station to broadcast live from random parking lots, and he would do like, he would make all these outrageous games. Like he put like motors on toilet seats, and you have toilet seat races, you'd have human bowling, you'd have all kinds of stuff. So I would broadcast live with Pat McAfee day. And me and him would just hang out. Everybody would come to, and it was a cool event. It'd be him, Pierre Garcon was the other dude that was always with us. But it was like, it was just good to have like a major sports team around. A lot of my like radio colleagues that like move to those smaller cities, it's rough when you don't have those big sports teams because you're so used to having it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Indy's I loved Indy. I mean, I didn't like Indy. Because the only time I had been there was for the combine, mm-hmm. When I was coming out of college, and it just seemed like a dry, like boring city. But I was there recently. Actually, this year I was in Indianapolis for a coaching convention. I didn't realize like the NCAA headquarters is there.
Yeah,
and there's like bird scooters everywhere.
Yeah, that's bird, newer. Yeah,
yeah, and I mean that's a newer thing, but. I got to like check out some spots out there. It was a popping city. I even went to they have Dick's Last Resort. Have you been to that spot?
Yep. Where they like yell at you.
Yeah, where they like basically treat you like crap the whole time and they draw stuff on you. But no, I would definitely go back to Indy. It's a good time for sure.
I would also say though, like in my years, I lucked out because the Super Bowl came like my first year there. So that like the whole city was, you know, when the Super Bowl comes to town, they get nicer hotels, the streets get cleaned up. So like I was there like prime time. The Super Bowl was there, you know, and I was younger, so it just kind of clicked pretty good there.
Yeah. Who was in that Super Bowl? Was that the Patriots?
I don't think so. I'd have to Google it. Actually, I gotta think. I didn't go to the game, but I did get all the parties. So, like you know how like Super Bowl comes to town, they have the Playboy party, they have the ESPN parties. I think Rihanna and Drake threw a party. So it was like, it was just cool to be a part of like, that's when LMFAO had like Party Rock Anthem and those songs. They did an event with us. So I can't remember who played in the Super Bowl though. That's a good question.
Huh. So you've met all these celebrities through just DJing, but I got to ask you, bro, like when did you have that like moment of awe with a certain celebrity? It was like, wow, I can't believe I'm like sitting and talking with this guy or girl right now.
When did I have that moment? Man, I feel like it happens like often. The biggest one that I would feel it on. Like for me, what I like the most is like not getting that moment where I'm interviewing this massive artist, but having someone I've interviewed a few times, but when I interviewed them the first time, they were really like nobody. And then like watching their career go, like somebody like the Chainsmokers. Like the wild thing about them is like, I still remember when they were like nobodies before the song Selfie Pop, me and them DJ together in Cambridge and they were just like regular like DJs. And like that night, our big boss in LA was like, yo, the song Selfie's coming out, I want you to play it. And I texted Alex and I had his number. I'm like, I'm going to play your songs. You want to like call in? He was in the T. He called in the radio station. I played Selfie the first time ever. So then you see them go from that to the biggest DJs in the world. And still, like, you know, text and have a good relationship with them. Like, that's kind of my favorite thing is seeing the growth of them. Because at the end of the day, same thing, like, with you when you're always around these, you know, big athletes. But at the end of the day, they're just people, right? And they're just kind of figuring out as they go. So, I mean, people like that. I mean, me and Charlie Puth are still really tight. And he's somebody that, like, you know, we partied with in Boston. He was on Berkeley when he was trying to figure it all out. And, I mean, those guys are definitely the ones that, like, I treasure those relationships the most. I mean, talking to Jack Harlow was dope just because, and not because like, I think he's the biggest guy I've ever talked to, but one, I caught him at his turning point, like right when he was going from like a hip hop artist to becoming mainstream. And we just had a real good conversation about like life and like the people you surround yourself with and keeping your family close. And he actually doesn't drink at all because he knows that like, like right now is his moment, and these moments come and go in a flash, and he doesn't want to have anything mess it up. So I think it's less of me like being like, oh, I can't believe that I'm with the Dodgers right now, more of like the connection that you're able to make with them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, Tully, Prince would cut your eyes out. That was the Super Bowl where my G-men beat you.
Oh.
Was there
the
really?
Second time, by the way, the second time, not the first time. The second
time. I thought Prince was in Minnesota. That was the Minnesota one. Are you talking about Amukamara? Oh, that Prince.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that Prince. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Super Bowl to forget, I guess.
Well, it's also because that was a Super Bowl you weren't in, right? Like you weren't there.
I wasn't in that one either. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, that was the G-men beating the Patriots again in 2012.
That was the Mayan calendar year. Yeah, that's the year I retired and everything. Yeah, year to forget. Year to forget.
I love how quiet it just got for
people. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, so what's the next question here?
So moving on. So Mikey, what I know you're doing the Kiss 108 DJ thing, but what else are you doing outside of that? I know we got to actually hang out the other night. I know you're doing some real estate stuff, but yeah. Are you doing, and I know you had the interview with Jack Harlow. I actually watched that. Is that through Kiss 108, or do you have your own kind of podcast that you're doing on the side?
Yeah. So again, with my role at Kiss 108 as music director, basically like what that explains or what that is like, I'm the liaison between the record labels and the radio station. So like if a record label wants to get a song played, like I'm the guy they go through and all that kind of stuff. And so that helps me get closer to the artist. And so the interview, yes, that would come to me through the radio station or through my relationship with the record label. They're like, oh, Jackson Town, do you want an interview? Do you want to buy? But for me and my vision of radio, and I think we live in a world now where media is so visually consumed, and like something just being on the radio isn't what it once was. Not, and I'm not talking bad about radio, it's my profession, but I think we need to be better as an industry of making things into reels, being on social media, being a full video on YouTube, being on the radio. So now you're 360 and like people can see it in more than one angle. So I actually have my own video guy on my payroll outside of the radio station that does all my content for me. So that interview came through me from the radio station, but then I'm the one that like would take it and make it bigger and make it into all the clips and do all those things. Like in comparison, like I did the Killer Roy one last week, another radio station, which I love them all because we're all fighting for the same medium. But like, you know, if they don't have an infrastructure of the video team, the video guy, their stuff hasn't even posted yet, right? And I'm already posting my fourth clip of it. So I just think that radio in general as an industry needs to be better at focusing on the value of social media, of YouTube, of getting, being visual, of being out and about and doing things the right way. We live in a world now where, you know, some random kid in his mom's basement can make their videos look so great and so good. And if we don't keep that standard up for radio, then I think radio falls by the wayside.
Oh yeah. I'm interested in hearing that point of view from you because
yeah,
I don't feel like people listen to the radio as much as they used to.
Yeah.
And, you know, just with all the platforms now with Spotify, iTunes, everything, YouTube, do you see the radio having to compete with social media, or do you think it's neck and neck, or do you maybe think radio might be phasing out?
So I work for a major company, right, that owns, like, for iHeartMedia owns majority of radio stations across the country. Luckily, my local boss really runs every station for top 40 in the country. So I have him like right close to me so I can really push my ideas. But for years, and really just in the past like 3 months, you know, our research, and they've confirmed what I'm saying is true. But like I've always said, I'm not competing with any radio station. I'm not competing with Mix down the street. I'm not competing with Hot 96.9, Jim Apple 5, which is one hallway over. I think we're a medium that's fighting against the iPhone, right? So I think that my biggest competitor every day is what you just said, is that girl with the iPhone that has the aux cord or has the Bluetooth and all that. So I think that the value becomes in the talents and the people like me and our morning show, Billy and Lisa, and making that emotional connection with the listener. Because what do we have to offer that a Spotify wouldn't? And is we're inclusive and we're a part of your city. So in my mind, and what I like to try and get across is like Spotify's your way to, you know, escape the world. If you put it in, nobody's going to talk. You're just going to listen to your music and you hear what you want to hear. But radio is your way to join the world. I'm going to talk about the fact that it's fucking cloudy out and rainy. I'm going to talk about the Pats game. I'm going to tell you that Tom Brady retired or Gronk did this. We're gonna make a joke about the girl that cheated on her boyfriend and got caught. So we have to make those emotional connections. And yes, it's harder and harder now than ever been because, I mean, you have kids, Tully, but you see it. Their attention's every fucking they're all over the place. They have their iPad going. They have their phone going. They have probably music playing in the background. YouTube's on the laptop. So it's like we have to work harder and harder to build an emotional connection that brings them back to the radio. And it's not even just about the radio. Like, again, for our company, iHeart, we have the iHeart Radio app, which actually is the number one, has the most podcasts in the world. We have all our festivals and all our shows and all that stuff. But to, like, you know, bring it all the way down to you said, yes, I mean, especially with COVID and even before COVID, like, radio listening has changed and diminished. But I think it's our job to be big personalities, to be mini superstars in your hometown, to connect with people, be at charity events, do the club gigs that I do, shaking hands, being out and about. And, like, it's almost like you got to build that brand. So then somebody like Tully said, yo, let's go on a podcast. And now we're talking about Kiss 108 again. But, like, if I wasn't out and about meeting you and doing things, then it doesn't get pulled back in. So I bring it back to the brands and your ability to connect to your city. And that's really, in my mind, the only way that radio continues to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's like you said, too. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead, Tully.
No, I was just going to reiterate what you were saying about that you're competing with the iPhone, but also you're competing with people's attention spans. And what ropes people in is really like that emotional connection, things that people can relate to. So
100%.
As long as you're doing that, I think the radio stays in the game.
And if you do it incorrectly, it can be diminishing. So, right. So if you're talking with other people aren't interested in, or you're not relating, or you're talking down, or you're not connecting, now you're just turning people away more. And that could be even worse. And I have battles and meetings all the time about explaining, like, if we do this, you know, now we're even more that fake thing in the sky, or it is kind of like if we don't do things correctly, it actually can hinder us even more. So it's even more important to do them correctly, because now you get the positive side of it too.
I mean, I think that also getting the youth involved, right? That's like, that's where it's going to keep. This is why Disney will never die, by the way, in my personal opinion.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Disney will never die. I literally was having this conversation with Clark Tully, with my boyfriend, and I was like, shout out to Clark. I was like, you know why Disney will never die? It was like a random thought that just popped in my head. I'm like, because there's children. And he's like, but what if the families get fed up and da-da-da, because there's a lot of protests going on with Disney and stuff like that, which I won't even talk about. But I'm like, it doesn't matter, because this is the generation of, unfortunately, a lot of these parents, they shove an iPhone in front of you, and what's playing? Disney. What's playing, like, the, you know, the next Hulu special or whatever. Like, that's why these mediums will never die ever. If you guys get to the kids too, and you have programs for radio or whatever, which is, I think, what also, you know, I'm doing. I work for Arash Markazi for 1090, and we're on 98.5 The Fan in Vegas, and we're on in Hawaii as well. But we're sports radio. We're not on you guys' level of iHeart yet. But having the next generation consistently talk or think or want to be involved in that medium, that's going to help build your brand as well, right? Which I'm assuming that's what iHeart does. Like, they reach out to the younger generation.
Yeah, you're 100% spot on. And I could get into, like, a deeper conversation about it. But I could talk about it forever. But, like, the interesting thing about the when you say younger, you say, like, teenagers or, like, young 20s, just so I can...
No, I mean, for your medium, yeah, it should be. It's kids that can will still listen to the music. I mean, I would assume, like, what, like, I mean, this is so aging me, because, like, I didn't start listening to top 40 stuff until I was like 12. So, I mean, there are kids now that are like 8, 7, you know, years old that listen to top 40 stuff, and they're listening to the non-edited version right now because they have access to that, right?
There's access to everything now.
Yeah, right. So what I'm thinking is, like, just the average age would be like teenagers all the way, like, and take that for what you will, 13 all the way till, you know, maybe 25, 20, 27. That's your normal market, I would assume, right? For like top 40.
Yeah, well, our target market's like 18-34, but we want to make sure we own the teenage demo too, because that's our next, they're the next up. So you want to always be cycling through it. But like, so the interesting thing about like the teens are like even like below our target demographic, and I ask them in meetings all the time too, because, and I'm talking right now my thoughts, not iHeart's thoughts, but like TikTok obviously is huge, right? It's big. It blew up over COVID, the biggest thing in the world. So these songs go viral on TikTok. And so a lot of times, I think radio can make this mistake at times of being like, TikTok song's so big, it's doing all these things, right? We got to play it because then the kids are going to like us again. So then you play this song that your older demographic is like, what the hell is this? But you're doing it to get the kids back. But think about it logically. Just because I start, just because that song goes on Kiss 108, it's not like a teenager somewhere in Medford's like, oh shit, they're now playing that song. Let me go on the radio. It's almost like my analogy is when when a club GM is like, hey, no hip hop, you know, remember no hip hop. I'm like,
right.
If I play a hip hop song, a ghetto crowd and come out of the speakers, disappear, like it's up to get in the fucking front door. Like I always hated that like mentality, but staying there on radio with that. So I think for us to connect with younger demo is doing those interviews with artists, also with TikTok kids and all that, but then editing them correctly and making them look like what they see all day when they swipe through and there's zombie scrolls. And then they see that guy with the Venus hat, but he's talking to their favorite artist. Now that guy's like, oh, who is that kid? And so now like, that's how you pull them back in. In my mind, it's not like a quick, like, oh, we play this TikTok song and come back. No, it's years and years of branding and living life like that. And that's why even for me, I'm continually, I'm very lucky that my local boss allows me to do things my way, but like, I'm always on social media, but looking for that like guy or girl, but girl, you know, who's young, who's living the social media life that connects with that who speaks that language. Is no matter how many times I can fake being young forever, but like I need that girl or guy that is 20, 21, 22 that does that. So right. I just hired a girl for my show on Afternoon Drive, but she's like the epitome of all that. And I think if radio doesn't do that and continues to have, you know, older people running a top 40 radio, not running, but like even me, like I'm aging myself out of the demo, even though I still act young, but like we need to keep that youthful stuff coming in, like you're saying. And that's why I take pride in finding those talents and then giving them a platform. Cause I mean, radio still is always going to be the megaphone. Even if I find the biggest influencer in Boston, they're still going to love being on Kiss 108. Cause what does Kiss 108 do? It makes them legit. It makes them different. Everybody has a million followers nowadays. Everybody has this. I mean, but putting them on the radio gives them like a legitimate. So you still have the ability to accomplish everything you want over here, but now you have another outlet. And why wouldn't you use another outlet if you had it, you know?
No, absolutely. I mean, I 100% agree. I mean, like, and I think that people said this during, you know, when we were kids, like, you're the next generation. So you guys are the ones that are going to be like setting the trends and stuff like that. Like now, like you said, we're aging ourselves out of that. And now the next generation has to come up and do that kind of thing. So it's just interesting now how it's done, how it's done now versus how it was probably done when you first started getting into radio. It's such an interesting gap. Interesting history lesson.
Yeah. And it's evolving for sure, but it's forever evolving. And as long in radio needs to make sure that we evolve with it and not just like, I get very mad too when we're like, well, we've always done this way. And I'm like, well, I don't give a fuck how we've always done it. Like let's do it how, like let's just think logically here. And the logical answer is usually the fucking right one, you know?
Right.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of like artists that I know that are either up and coming or have made it. You hear some guy saying like, well, I don't need the radio or screw the radio. Like, I'm just going to, you know, go to YouTube or like, so people are, but like you just said, the radio can't hurt your brand. And if anything, it legitimizes it. So I always dreamed as a music artist to get my song played on the radio. I feel like I don't care how many views, how many followers, like if your song's not played on the radio, you still haven't made it yet.
Yeah,
and I think people need to remember that, and like, you know, yeah, the mentality is you don't need the radio. And I remember like the whole payola days where people were paying to get their songs played on the radio. Whatever. Yep. And it's like, you know, right. And so it's like, now, you know, you have to be trending on TikTok, or you have to have a certain amount of views. And I don't even know how the whole process is now for an artist to actually get heard on the radio without getting the clout first.
If you saw my like schedule today, or like today, so like on a Friday, starting at 9 a.m. all the way to 1, I have 30-minute Zooms with the head of every record label. So I can screenshot you today in my calendar, but it's Columbia for a half hour. Epic, Sony, you know, Interscope, boom, boom, boom. So they're head of their labels. Again, it's Kiss 108, you know, the third biggest pop station in the country. They're sitting there, like, come on, we got this kid. He's streaming, he's doing this, you know, it's researching here, you know, da da da. So their job is to, you know, convince us to give them a spot on our radio station. And they still take that very seriously. But like what you're saying, there are a ton of artists that, yeah, don't need radio. And I'm fully aware that you can actually make so much money on streaming and so much of things. I'm tied with Mike Studd, who's completely successful, but barely touched your radio this first song, Closer. Or even like Russ, who I'm cool with. Like all those guys can do very well. But what radio still will always do is, again, makes you legit and really can make you a household name. I mean, if we use Olivia Rodrigo for an example, like she had a TikTok trend and driver's license was blowing up. It was huge. It was all over TikTok. But she wasn't at the point where like your grandma knew her name and your kids knew her name and your mom knew her name. But then when radio and iHeart get behind it, and all of a sudden now it's on every station in the country, she goes, we don't think of our footprint as just the million people that listen to Kiss 108, but we own a station in every market. And so our footprint's really, you know, 100 million people. Cause once my boss makes a decision that this is the song that we're going to dive into, every station in the country plays it. So we work almost as a unit. So now we have the ability to take that person from a trend that's cool and people who are on TikTok know it. So like, oh shit, now it's playing everywhere in the country. And I actually always will ask the artist. I mean, I just did it with Kid Laroi, 24K Golden, who had number one hit. Kid Laroi had number one song with Stay. I was like, yo, like mic's off. Like, just really, like, why do you care about being played on the radio? And 24K Golden gave me the best answer. He was like, to be honest, in my group of friends, everybody's gone viral. Everybody streams a million. Like, but like, not all of us get on the radio. Like for us, streaming a million is not hard, or going viral is not hard. But like, when you get on the radio, it's almost like you made the all-star team. So like, there's a lot of NBA players, NFL players that like have great careers, but never made the all-star team. So that was how he explained it. And I'm like, damn, for at that point, he's like 19 years old. I was like, damn, that's a pretty good way to explain it.
No, so, that's awesome. That's like winning a championship. Not everybody in the NFL's won a ring. Yeah, not everybody, exactly. You know. Sure. So that's a great analogy.
So real quick, what do you say to an artist that may not have a million streams or may not have a big following, but is super talented, has a great song, a record? How can they get, like, is there any way for them to even get on the radio if they're not signed to a record deal or they're not a big time social media viral artist? Like, is that even possible nowadays?
I think anything's possible. I mean, but that's definitely a hard question.
Could you hear a song? Like, could I play you one of my songs? And you'd be like, damn, Tully, this song slaps, bro. This is fire. I'm going to play this on the radio tomorrow.
I mean, could I? Yes. Like, I run the races. Like, yes, I could. Would I get reprimanded or be like, what the fuck did you just do? Probably. But what I would do is get it in front of the right people, right? So I would get it in front of, it's a big, like, I can run Kiss 108, but like, for a song to really go on rotation, it's a bigger thing for the iHeart that come across the globe. But your original question, that's a tough one, because I have so many friends that are very successful in music and that, you know, I would love to play more, but like, just like, realistically thinking, like, if I have 3 new music spots in daytime and I'm not playing the new, I don't know, just say Harry Styles song yet, how am I going to give it to this other random song? But yeah, my response is building the brand. The same thing I would say to somebody trying to get into radio, get into TV, or even become an athlete nowadays. Like, keep building your brand, keep putting the content out, keep building your platform, because then when you do have something pop, like, if you come back to your page, there's more of you to consume. I see all the time when artists have a song pop, but like, they have nothing on their page, right? Or nothing on their Spotify. So like me, so for the listener, oh my God, this song is awesome. I hear it everywhere. I go to their page and I want more of them. and I can't get it. But that's we're going back to building a connection. The way somebody builds a connection with you is they go to find you, and they see 50 songs, and then and they learn about your life and all those songs, and now they're your fan forever. And now you have the ability to do it. So that I think at the end of the day, building that brand, and I also have always said, like, be a grassroots type person, as far even in music, like, own your town, own your city, own your state, and keep going. And I think that's one of my favorite things for an artist to do, is just to keep building their craft.
Love it. Cool, man. I bet you get requests all the time. Like, hey, bro, can you play my song?
Yeah, not all the time. But like, I would like for that person, I would love to come sit on my Friday meetings and like see like the head of record labels, like, you know, fighting for us to play, you know, I'm trying to think of a song off my head, but like the Nicki Minaj song right now, like, or like, so it's like, it that would help somebody understand how out of place it would be to play the random Nick Smith song when I'm not playing the Nicki Minaj song, you know?
Yeah, that's a toughie.
but it's hard to understand, but you know, I do see both sides of that, and I definitely see both sides of that.
Yeah. Plus, you got to play the song, like, you can't just play a song once. Usually, if it's like a hit song, like a Harry Styles or somebody, that song's going to get played multiple times throughout the day and the week.
And to what you just said is a point that I've had forever is, again, with radio listening, different people are in other cars differently. Everything is different, right? It takes even more exposure. Like, I've done tests with songs with like big artist songs that like other stations aren't playing or aren't streaming. And I'm like, I'll bang them on the radio to see how long it takes for that. Because we do every other week, we do perceptual studies. So I get reports back of this song's 30% familiar or 80% familiar. 10% people hate the song. Everybody loves the song, blah, blah, blah. But the amount of spins on Kiss When I Wait that I need to have for a song to become familiar is even more than it used to be, because again, everybody's so sporadic with their attention. So like, it doesn't benefit anybody for me to play a song once. It doesn't even benefit the label to play that big song once. Like my mentality is, I want to start playing it when I know this song is going to be a hit for the radio station. It's going to be a hit in the world, and I'm going to start playing it every other. I'm going to play it a lot. Like, it only hurts me, the station, and that artist for me to like just throw it on at 7 p.m. one time randomly. You know, like, it's cool for that artist, so like, I get that. But it doesn't benefit. There's no benefit to the listener.
So real quick, and then we'll get into the rundown. If I listen to a song on the radio and I'm like, this song is trash, and I like, and I change the channel, like, does that affect that song? Like, can you actively like get a song to stop playing by like switching the channel or not listening? Like, how do I get a song to stop playing on the radio?
So the truth.
I sound like a hater, but you know.
The truth of how it works. So radio, TV, they're both rated the same way. They have we call them people meters. So like, it's a little meter that X amount of people have, and it pays attention to what they listen to and when they listen to it. Right. So I'm just going to use random numbers just to make it round. So say there's 1,000 people that live in Boston, right? But 10 have meters. Those 10, each person represents 10 people, right? So they're a sample size that represents the general public. So yes, if you had a meter, yes, every time you switch the station, I'd be able to see that. And we get a thing called an M score, that if it goes negative for a song, that means that more often than not, somebody changed the station. If it's positive, it meant they kept it on. So that's how I see like the changing. And then that's what I call not perceptual, but like a number study. But then every other week, we also get 100 people and play them our 40 songs, and they say, I love it, hate it. And they can write stuff down, and we do a survey that way too. So as far as actual action on the radio, yes, if they have a meter. As far as getting the reaction of if they know a song, like a song, hate a song, or sick of a song, that would be a qualitative study. So one's quantitative, one's qualitative.
Very interesting. Okay. So
yeah, it's a crazy world. It's actually, I think at some points becomes too much science and not enough gut. But I mean, again, probably the same fucking thing as an athlete. Like that guy who watches so much tape that they don't even like act like an athlete anymore, you know? Because you overthink everything, you overvalue everything.
Right, huh? Yeah, because I used to think there was like a 15-second mark. Like, if I could just, if I change the channel in the first 15 seconds, this song is going to get dropped.
Fastest fingers in Boston right here.
I got to give me a meter. All right, well, cool, man. We're at the time of the show. I know we can go keep going and on about music, but we got to hit you with the rundown and get you up out of here, bro. So with no further ado, first question of the rundown for Mikey V. And everyone gets this question. Would you rather be a bird or a fish?
Bird.
Damn.
Why, you a fish?
I'm a fish, bro. But almost everybody says bird, bro. I think we've only had one other person say fish.
Yeah, we have only had one other person say fish.
So you're not alone flying in the sky, brother.
There we go.
All right, next question. Would you rather give up air conditioning or heating for the rest of your life?
Give up AC or heating?
Heating in the winter. You know,
damn, that's a tough one. They both suck. Can I move? Or am I still living in Boston no matter what?
Nah, we're in the bean.
We're in the bean. Oh, man. Oh, AC or no heat? I think I got to say I'd rather give up AC. Because no heat in the winter here, you're fucking going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to have.
I know. I tried to give up no AC just yesterday with you, and it wasn't too fun either. So.
And I lost a few pounds with you, bro, the other day.
So maybe it'll be a good thing. Maybe I'll burn some calories.
There you go. Okay. No AC it is. All right. Next question. Would you rather never be able to go out during the day or never be able to go out at night?
Well, I would say I'm at the point in my life where that might be finally turning. I think if you asked me that about 15 minutes ago or any other part of my life before that, I would say I would rather never be able to go out during the day. But I think now probably, no, I'll give myself 6 more months. I'm going to say still that I'd rather never go out during the day. I'm staying young for 6 more months.
Okay. Nighttime lit. Okay. I respect that one. Okay, next question. Would you rather have a sing-off with Ariana Grande or a dance-off with Rihanna?
Dance-off with Rihanna. Just to dance with Rihanna.
Right? That was a layup right there.
I'm losing both of them, right? I might as well have some fun in one of them.
Right. You're definitely going to lose. All right. Couple more. Would you rather spend a week in a forest or one night in a real haunted house?
A week in a forest. I don't fuck with haunted houses.
You believe in ghosts, huh?
I don't know if I believe in ghosts. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, if it says it's haunted.
I feel like that night could feel like a week.
Yeah.
Well, what about the fact, because like there are some forests that are like legit no joke, like serial killer, murderer stuff or whatever, where you guys are from.
Now you're getting me thinking. Do we need to classify the forest?
Can my
life not be in danger, but I just gotta deal with living in a forest. That's how I envisioned it.
Yeah, you stay alive. You won't die. But you gotta stay in, you gotta stick. But you know.
Oh, okay. Well, like in both scenarios though?
I guess the chance of dying has to be a part of the question, but we don't have to go that deep.
This is getting deep.
Okay. All right, couple more. Would you rather have a child every 20 years or never have any children at all?
I think I'd rather have a child every 20 years. I do want to have a kid at some point, so I got to figure that one out.
I like it. I can see a little Mikey V running around.
Yeah.
With the hat. Okay. And last question before the moment of truth. Would you rather have bad serious gas on your first date or on your wedding night?
I think you're more comfortable on your wedding night, right? So I might as well let go of that and just around your friends and family.
Right?
I think so. I mean, the first date, you're never going to get to the wedding night if that's the situation.
I was about to say, I'm like, let them know how you live, man. Let them know how you live.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. All right.
If you can't pass gas in front of her, then she's not the one for you. I don't know what to say.
Facts.
She is not the one for you.
But she might say no. She might say no at the altar, bro. That might be the deal breaker.
Well, then maybe it's not the gas.
You gotta let her know off the gates. Like, you gotta let them off every now and then. You know what I mean?
But maybe the gas. If she says no at the altar, the gas is not the problem. Him farting in front of her at the first date was not the issue.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to get deeper into this, but I don't know. As a woman, I'd be like, she's probably like, something else happened that she just, I don't know.
All right, we'll move on for that one, and we'll get into the moment of truth for Mikey.
I'm making all y'all fuckers freaking awkward.
Make me overthink on a Friday.
So sorry. All right. Okay, so for the moment of truth for Mikey B, if you could run your own venue, or let's just say your own like festival, the Mikey V Festival.
Yeah.
Where would you have it? What venue would you have it? And who would be your headliners?
Man, you know, right now, I actually went to a festival in January in Tulum, which was dope. So I'm going to pick Tulum because I loved it out there. It just can't be in the summer because it's too hot. You say, who would my headliners be?
Yeah, and I don't know if you could do that. I don't know if you want to exclude anybody, but you may have some personal favorites.
I think it would be a strong mixture, but like if I'm gonna play it off who would I want to see, it would have to be a throwback hip hop artist, like either like a 50, a Ja Rule, a Nelly, like the little commercial throwback hip hop, like that would be one of them. They gotta be alive, right?
Yeah. No, they could be dead or alive. We can make it. Yeah. Dead or alive?
I'll keep it alive because dead is just, I mean, I could go on for an hour and a half. It'd be a big
festival. There's holograms. There's holograms you can put up.
I mean, I would love to see Biggie, but, and then I would think that Drake's got to be there. And then I would go with the dudes that I enjoy kicking it with. Like, I would definitely put Chainsmokers there. They always bring good energy, and who's better than an EDM girl or like a DJ at a festival? I think that would be
one.
Oh yeah, then I gotta get a chicken there too. Who my favorite? I mean, I probably would go to Dua Lipa because I know that girls love Dua Lipa. Doja Cat. Mm. I don't know. I can go on and on. You have to limit me to like three or five or something.
No, I think you did. I think you nailed it with those right. 3 to 5 right there.
If it's a weekend festival, you have like a plethora of decisions. Like it could be.
You see these weekend festivals; they have like 20 acts a night. I feel like.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like all throughout the day, right? So like you're not just like they're not just doing it at night. They're like they're going, you know, from like noon till the next day. It's not like a Woodstock situation.
When I was in Tulum, when I would leave like the festival, whatever, like I don't know, 6 a.m. because the fucking sun's coming up, I'll be like the first motherfucker leaving that festival. I'm like, what the hell y'all do? But yeah, they go all night.
Yeah, yeah, man. Burning Man's this weekend. It's my birthday weekend. I was thinking of going, but
you should.
Nah, I don't know if I'm ready for Burning Man, bro. I don't know.
It's a lot.
Have you been?
No, I had not been. I've only seen videos.
Yeah.
I'm actually not a huge festival guy, to be honest, because I'm not like clean showers and normal bathrooms. So like I thought.
Speaking of that though, what about Splash House? Have you gone to Splash House?
I'm not Splash House. No, I've never been.
Because I suggest that entirely. It's freaking amazing. It's so much fun.
Is it public showering though?
No, it's a pool party. It's like you pop from pool party to pool party.
Oh, that sounds dope. I can do that. I like that.
Yeah.
So there's three party in the jungle thing. It's a little weird for me sometimes.
Yeah, no, this is like, it's in Palm Springs, and shout out to Splash House. I'm so bummed I'm not there for all 3 weeks that they did this festival. You can either Airbnb, which is that's what me and a group of my friends do, or you can get a hotel. You can get a room at one of the three hotels that they host the festival at. And then the after hours is at the airport hangar.
That's dope.
And it doesn't go all night. This is like for people that can be old too. So it doesn't go all night. It goes till like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to go to Mikey V's festival.
I know.
Let's do it, baby.
I want VIP.
We just spoke that into existence, baby. Let's go.
I like that. We'll start working on that one together.
Let's go work on that in Tulum. I'm down.
Love it. Well, thank you guys for having me. As always, tell you the man. Great to meet you. And let's
wonderful
keep
to meet you, Mikey.
You got absolutely. It, brother. Thanks for being on the show, man. We'll be talking soon. All right. That's our show, folks. Holla at a baller. If he... Should I hit him? Should I split him? Should I get him? You should just finish roll with him. Then I sit him down. Get up now. Click it.